welcome to the Boot Collective podcast, which is presented by Goodyear. Drive always discovers possibilities. Goodyear, more driven. We're talking about the NBA. We're talking about the bubble. It is just before midnight on Thursday night on the East Coast. We stayed up to watch. Here's a statement I never thought I would say. We stayed up to watch Portland play Brooklyn in a game in the bubble to decide the last play-in spot. joining me from Boston is Jackie McMullen. Jackie, we're up late, just like it's the playoffs have already started.
I know. At least we don't have to write a story on deadline. That's the good news.
I know. That's happened too many times. And joining us from Dallas is Timothy Band McMahon. Just a few minutes ago for us, I don't know how many of you are listening were able to stay up for it, but Caris LeVert had a shot with 3 seconds left. He had a step back, about 20-footer. It goes in. The Blazers are flying home tomorrow, and then the Suns, Cinderella story, make it into the play-in. But it missed, hit the side of the rim, and so the Blazers advance to the play-in. The Suns are out. And so let me ask you this, Jackie. As that ball is in the air, what do you think it was like in the Suns team room as they were watching it? And what do you think it was like in the Lakers group that was no doubt watching it?
Interesting question. I'm not as much in the camp as everyone else that the Blazers are going to run roughshod over the Lakers.
I don't think it's going to run roughshod. I just think it's a much harder series if it's there.
It is, I guess. But I thought it. I mean, this game was Dame wasn't going to let them lose. It was really that simple to me. Lillard just wasn't going to allow it. And I will say this: I give Jacques Vaughn a ton of credit, and I'm so glad he did it for the integrity of the game, because he took Caris LeVert out of the game for normal rest. And who would have blamed him if he didn't play him again the rest of the game? Because these guys aren't playing for anything, the Nets. And to his credit, he put his young star back in the game and let him and gave him a chance, gave his team a chance to win it. And that's what should have happened. And to be honest, it didn't happen throughout the league during this play-in business over the last few days. And I get why. Teams have to take care of their own. I understand that. They have to rest their guys. And, of course, in the case of the Bucks today, Giannis was suspended. So I don't think Bud would have played him anyway, but the decision was taken out of his hands. What I liked about this game was the Nets honestly, truly tried to win it. And Caris LeVert was fantastic in this game.
Yeah, 37.
Really fantastic. But at the end of the game, the veterans, Lillard, McCollum, those guys, they pull this out, this win, and deserve to go. Phoenix, what an amazing story. To go undefeated, I feel for them. Monty Williams did such a fabulous job, not just in the bubble, because what mattered was in the time leading up to the bubble, to get your team prepared and get your team ready. And I actually talked to Monty a couple of different times during the hiatus for various stories, and then just because I was checking in with him to see. And he had a really good plan to manage, to get keep these young this young team engaged, to keep them interested, to keep them motivated and focused on things they had to do. So, you know, hats off to Monty Williams and the job that the Phoenix Suns did. But I'm excited that Portland's going. I want Dame Lillard in the playoffs.
No, I 100% agree with that. And Dame right now, especially with Steph out, Dame might be the best combination of baller and showman in the league. Mm. And I mean, his ability to rise to the occasion, like after, admittedly, he choked against the Clippers. And he's the only dude in the league, and just happened to be two perfect guys to be able to say it to. He's the only dude in the league who can be like, dude, I hit a shot to send your butt home in a playoff series, and I hit a 37-footer to send your butt home in a playoff series. So shut up. And then come back 51, 61. 42. When Dame pulled up, like just casually from the NBA logo, which is not as big as I'll point out, it's not as big as most team logos. That was a 40 something foot shot, just pulled up casually. When he hit that, it was like the Blazers, they are not losing this game. I'll say this though, for the Suns, I honestly, and obviously they would never agree with this, I think this might be best for them. They get to end this season on a, I mean, just a sky-high note, undefeated, you know, just crazy run through the bubble. They'd have gotten wiped out in the first round by the Lakers. Now they can go in just, I mean, crazy momentum going in the next year, feel like they've got their core in place. Monty Williams has his culture in place. So I think this is, although they wouldn't admit it, a good scenario for the Suns. And obviously we all want to see Dame Lillard and this crazy run continue. And then, you know, it's interesting. The Grizzlies, they're just kind of, you know, kind of hanging around.
Yeah. So let me say something about Phoenix. They did, you know, 8-0, it's amazing. They did benefit a little bit. They got some breaks with some of the guys who they were playing.
Yeah, they did.
I think that should be acknowledged. I also want to say this. They had four or five guys who had COVID. I don't know how many of those guys actually raised their hands and said it, but I'm fairly certain they had four or five guys who had it. And Kelly Oubre was unable to play. I mean, he had knee surgery. I don't think he was ever really a serious candidate to play, but they lost him. And then Aaron Baines opted out. So, having said that, they lost two players. You know, Monty Williams of the Suns tweeted out his post-game speech that he made to the team today. And, you know, in addition, you know, he just really praised them and their effort and everything. And one of the things that he said was that, you know, we don't control our own destiny. So what we, you know, the motivation for us coming out of this is to put yourself in a position where you do control your own destiny. So, you know, Jackie described, you know, some frustration and it certainly existed about, you know, certain teams, you know, it was tanking, but,
The Jazz tanked. Just say that. The Jazz tanked. And they tanked to avoid the Rockets, and now Russ is going to miss part of the first round. So the Jazz,
we're going to talk about that, but I think Monty's point is good, which is that what you want to do as a team is you want to put yourself in a position where you don't have to worry about somebody else going not in the last day of the season. So we earn the right to control your own destiny. But having said that, now the one thing I will say about the Suns that is going to be an interesting thing is what will they do in the offseason with this roster? You know, the impression that was going in the league was that they were going to, like many teams, but certainly specifically them, potentially cut payroll.
Robert Sarver cut payroll? No way.
Right. So, you know, Robert Sarver in a move that, you know, we really haven't seen before, or at least not in recent times, you know, sold off their G League team in a money situation, sold them and he's going to save on operations and he got, you know, several million dollars for them and they're going to move to Michigan. And, you know, they've had layoffs in the organization and they have a number of guys with team options. And, you know, it's a question about, you know, whether they're going to, you know, use their exceptions and stuff. So I wonder if this strong finish, especially with the way we haven't mentioned Devin Booker yet, who will be on the all bubble team. Dame Lillard is winning the MVP, but Booker will be on the all bubble team. You know, it'd just be interesting to see what they do with this roster. You know, Aaron Baines is a free agent. I'm not so sure that they have to re-sign him, but that's something that will be interesting to watch.
If I may, Brian, one of the things that's kind of cool though about their situation is some of these young guys that stepped up, Cam Johnson, Cameron Payne, Mikal Bridges, who's already, you know, he's on a rookie deal. So some of the guys that played so well aren't the ones that are going to cost you a lot of money, you know? And that's kind of cool. Like, I think Cameron Johnson, I looked it up earlier.
That's true.
He's like at $4.4 million, I think. And Cameron Payne is, he's up, or no, he's up next year, but he makes under $2 million. So to me,
well, he's, yeah, he was, he was playing the he was sitting on the bench in the Chinese League
right
6 months ago.
Right. He had a big season for the Texas Legends.
No, but he played well for these guys. So, you know, I guess what I'm saying is, you know, and Ayton's locked up for a little bit. So the guys that emerged from this bubble that caught my attention anyway are guys that are locked up for a while or are locked up at, you know, or making money that's not going to break your bank. I mean, now Tyler Johnson, that's a whole nother, you know, guys like that, who's, you know, that's a whole nother kettle of fish, right? But
right, yeah.
Well, Devin Booker's 23, but if we want to be brutally honest, and I don't want to rain on the Suns' parade here, but Draymond wasn't necessarily lying about you know, Devin Booker maybe wanting to look around either.
I don't know. If I'm the Phoenix Suns and I just watched this and the average age of my team is, are they the youngest team in their league or is Minnesota? I mean, they're one of the youngest teams in the league.
Well, and yeah. The Grizzlies are up in that there too. But yeah, look, I think Monty Williams has a great thing going and I think he's, you know, the right coach there, but they're still owned by Robert Sarver. And that's the unfortunate thing.
Yeah, so let's just you know watch their moves this summer and see if they look to truly improve the roster or not. And look, I'm not saying if they you know let the 13th guy's team option go that instigates they're not. I'm just saying let's see what they do.
You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems, but nothing on your roof. So who's ever up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-timey chimney sweeps, moody teenagers, girl-sinking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish. But you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root, root, root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit DirecTV.com. Sign up today. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package.
Let's talk about Memphis for a second. It was an interesting situation today. McMahon with Bud playing Taylor Jenkins, his former assistant, in a must-win yeah. game for them. And of course, he didn't have Giannis, but you know they won easily. One of the most incredible stats I've seen in recent times, Jonas Valanciunas had his first ever triple-double. He almost had a triple-double in the first half, and his career high in assists before today was 5.
And somebody asked him about it on the post-game Zoom, which is also a very 2020 thing to say. Hmm. And he goes, they made their shots. Like, you know, that's how I got.
I always deliver the ball.
Yeah. It was a very good deadpan delivery.
Considering everything that's on the line here, can they beat Portland twice?
I mean, no. I highly, highly doubt it. And if we're being honest, the Grizzlies, by winning today, at least if they would have lost today and totally missed out on a play-in scenario after having that lead for the 8 spot going in, it would have been such a deflating deal. Look, they can lose to the Blazers and they can at least not have a really bitter taste going on in the offseason, especially considering the circumstances with losing Jaren Jackson and Justice Winslow and even Tyus Jones. But no, they're not beating Damian Lillard twice. No.
All right, but I'm just going to put up my hand for a minute and just remind you of the game you just watched and the amount of minutes all those Portland players, the veterans in particular, logged in that game. They're playing Saturday. The first game's Saturday, right?
Well, they could have to play Saturday, Sunday, and then Tuesday.
Right.
Schedule.
Right. And they logged – and Nurkic looked exhausted to me. And it was
– oh, my God.
Didn't he?
His head was just red.
You know,
he could not get a defensive rebound. Jared Allen, I think, had 46 rebounds.
That's because he was exhausted. And, you know, two things. First of all, it's been bugging me who he looks like. He looks like Moe's from The Office. He looks like the cousin Moe's. That's what he looks like. It's been driving me nuts. That's number one. Number two, I'm surprised Terry Stotts didn't go back to Whiteside, who gave him some – and you guys know I usually am not very
the cooler.
I'm right, the cooler. I thought he was fantastic in the first half.
Whiteside was a minus nine in 15 minutes, which is hard to do when you've got 16 points and nine rebounds.
Yeah, but I mean
and two blocks. Like, he's got this great stat line, and they just are minus nine in 15 minutes.
But that's always – I always say that that's not a real – that's a little deceiving, that those box scores when those
– Well.
Because it's not the plus minus to me. But hey, we don't need to
talk. It's often consistent with Whiteside.
But hey,
Whiteside is like John Hollinger's worst nightmare, because he consistently rates super high in the player efficiency rate.
Yes, it's unbelievable. It's unbelievable.
When he's actually, you know, in all honesty, most nights not a winning player. I mean,
I understand that, but I mean, you saw him in the first half. He was, and it was not that I wanted you to go to Whiteside and play him the whole second half, but Nurkic was gassed, and you know,
down the stretch, Damian handed it off to CJ. CJ pretty much had the game-winning basket when he hit that pull-up.
That was a big shot on a broken back, nonetheless. Wow.
Well, they were also doubling Dame. Literally one time they doubled him 55 feet from the hoop. I mean, he was on the other side of
that
court.
I would have done that.
Exactly. Smart strategy.
Yeah.
To hold Dame to 22 shots means you've done something right.
That's where Nurkic gets open underneath, right? That's where Nurkic
– and Nurkic did have three
big baskets. He did. I was just something to bring up, the amount of minutes these guys have played, you know. And it's going to be bang, bang, bang. It's going to be bang, bang, bang.
I think it's totally fair. I think that's, you know, if you're asking them, you know, the other thing is, you know, who knows what sort of treatment CJ McCollum got.
I can only imagine.
Because he looked like a different player on a fractured disc in his back. And that's an injury, from what I am told. It's not that it's season threatening. It's just very painful.
Incredibly so.
So he scored 12 points in the first quarter. He clearly is doing something to alleviate the pain. And so you wonder how that's going to work. Although you give him a week or so, he may feel better.
He's got to be taking some kind of a shot though.
Yeah, cortisone.
I don't know what he's doing. I'm just telling you, there had to have been something, because he's a different guy today.
Well, I will tell you this, from unfortunately a little bit of personal experience, if you're going to have a cortisone shot, once you have one, you can't have another one the next day unless nobody's looking. Yeah. Let's just say it that way.
Yeah, right.
I don't think they would do that to CJ, but no. I'm just saying that's something to watch. I think that's definitely fair, and I think that's one thing. You know, I think the average NBA fan wants to see Dame go up against the Lakers, and I will say, I think this first round is going to be a study in double teams. I think we're going to see
Anthony Davis is going to be doubled up and down the floor.
That's right. Yeah, I was just talking to a head coach yesterday who's a coach of a playoff team, and he's like, "Look, he is not playing the Lakers, but he's like, look, if I was playing the Lakers, I would double Anthony Davis until they proved that it doesn't work anymore."
Right.
And you think Harden might see some doubles?
That's what I was going to say.
Yeah,
Harden as well.
Here's the one thing about the Lakers, though, that in the Blazers. I would be much more bullish on the Blazers' chances if they had Trevor Ariza, because who the heck matches up with LeBron? And I'm not saying that I'm not suggesting that Trevor's like a LeBron stopper or anything, but he's a body you can put on LeBron. And
he's a body they could use tonight on Caris LeVert, too.
Right, exactly. Yeah, I think that's a guy that they're gonna miss as they go forward here. Although, believe me when I tell you, I have the utmost respect and admiration for the decision that Trevor Ariza made. And for those of you who don't know that, he's dealing with a custody issue with his young son. And I just couldn't commend him enough for choosing his son and being there for his son during what I'm sure is a very tumultuous time for their family. So good for you, Trevor, but your team's going to miss you.
Yep. And yeah, Wendy, you hear LeBron and Trevor Ariza and you want to tell your
I've told it before. I've told it.
That's right.
I mean, he scored 56 and on Trevor, right? Or something like
that. No, but I'm just talking about another body. I'm not talking about a LeBron stopper.
I mean,
you know, just there's not a lot of bodies on that roster that can even try to match up with LeBron.
So in talking to like some personnel guys who have been watching the Lakers, what they've seen with the Lakers so far is that when LeBron because Tom Haberstroh from NBC Sports, he did a piece yesterday where he talked about how dunks are down by like 50% or 25% overall, but for the Lakers, they're down 54%, and LeBron's just not dunking. And when I talked to some personnel guys, one of the things that they've seen in the bubble with LeBron so far, and you know he's dealing with a groin issue, is that when he gets past the perimeter defender and he gets into the paint, as he has for 17 years, he is as unstoppable as ever.
Right.
But he is having some difficulty in the seeding games. We all know that there's other gears in that box that he's likely to go to, but he has had some difficulty at times getting past a perimeter defender. In the loss that they had to the Pacers the other day, he was just flat out not challenging Malcolm Brogdon. So what you really want to do is if you have it, I mean, not every team has it, but if you want a big physical guy to try to make it harder for LeBron to get past him. And you want LeBron to settle for that outside shot. Now, some nights he's going to hit it, but you know the Lakers haven't been shooting well as a team overall. And the guy who makes the most sense is Carmelo, size-wise, because it's never just a one-man thing.
He's going to get most of it. I mean, you look at tonight, Zach Collins only played 17 minutes.
Yeah.
And so Melo played the four most of the night. I think that's what if Melo's going to be on the floor, he can't. Melo can't guard LeBron. I mean, you can't do that to him.
Well, look, and the Blazers got to win a game before that happens. But
right.
But yeah. I'm figuring on Anthony Davis getting double teamed a lot.
Well, it's been. The Lakers, Brian, they're an offensive disaster. I was doing the numbers. Their last in field goal percentage. Their last in 3-point shooting. Their last in points scored. Like, they're really struggling to score as a team.
Well, and let's talk about LeBron real quick, because he had 29 and 12 assists the other night, but the fact he had a rebound in an entire basketball game, and then game on the line, I believe it was score tied last minute, he's got bowl on an island. This, like, 7'2", you know, spaghetti figure. And he settled for a step back three instead of attacking off the dribble. He's not confident in his groin right now, I don't think.
Like I said, I think it's important to recognize that LeBron doesn't quite look himself, but also say that the man has an extraordinarily long history of dialing up.
Years ago, the Cavs looked terrible for like a month and a half before the playoffs started, or 2 months, and then boom, they moved through the East. I hear you.
But I just think the team as a whole has got to be concerned, don't you feel? I mean, their lack of depth compared to the Clippers seems very glaring to me all of a sudden. We've said it, let's say it one more time, how much they miss Avery Bradley, not just as a perimeter defender, which a perimeter on the ball defender. We know he's one of the best. In fact, we've written things that what would stop LeBron, and mine was Avery, you know, the loss of Avery Bradley. Not again, because Avery Bradley's a magical player that turns everything around, but it's just one more layer shaved off of your depth. And he was a very, very, you know, an elite on the ball defender. We can off the ball is a whole different story, but a very elite on the ball defender, the best in the league against 3-point shooters, by the way, this year. Closest to the defender, no one guarded the 3-point shooter better than Avery Bradley this year, and now you lose him. But also, which I hadn't given much thought to, he's a capable 3-point shooter. I'm not going to say he's a great 3-point shooter. He shot 36% from behind the line this year. He's not a volume 3-point shooter. He's just a capable veteran 3-point shooter that when you move the ball around and you want to take an open three, he can hit it for you. I mean, again, when I was breaking this down for this piece that we're doing, whenever it comes out, the 3-point shooting numbers, Danny Green was 28.4%. LeBron, until he hit those five threes against the Nuggets, was in the lower 20s. Deion Waiters.
This is in the bubble?
Yes, in the bubble. Yeah. Yeah, well, Deion Waiters was shooting 13% from the 3-point line. I mean, Alex Caruso. The only one that was good was Kuzma, you know?
Well, and now Caruso's got a neck injury.
They got some problems.
Contavious Caldwell-Pope is banged up. I will say, Kuzma, Frank Vogel's playing him about 5 minutes more a game because of their injury issues. He's shooting 44% from threes in the bubble. He's averaging 16 points. He only averaged 12 during the regular season or during the whatever main part of the season. So, but I mean, just saying, you know, you're relying on Kuzma. Maybe he'll deliver, maybe he won't.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call or click Grainger.com or just stop by.
But Tim, I wanted to ask you about Harden. So, as we set these series up, I mean, now the Thunder Rockets series becomes fascinating with Russ, having a quad injury. And, you know, I was a catcher in my fantastic athletic days, but I was a catcher.
In your prime.
So I had a quad injury or two. And when you've got a quad injury, there's almost no movement you can make that doesn't hurt.
And I'm guessing that Russ was a little more explosive than you.
Yeah.
And especially
you think his quads, personally. Are you saying his quads activated more than mine did?
just a little bit more.
But Russ is so tough. Russell got it through.
Russ, I believe, will play certainly in this series, but his game obviously is based so much on athleticism and explosiveness that if he's hampered, like, that's, you know, pretty significant. And, you know, how ironic is it? I don't even know if that's the right word. Alanis Morissette might want to check me, but the Rockets, part of the justification, not reasoning, but justification for trading for Russ is, hey, this dude's durable. CP3's breaking down.
And
here you go.
Black fly in your Chardonnay, Tim. Black fly in your Chardonnay.
I don't know what that means.
That's Alanis Morissette. A death row pardon a minute too late. Come on, man. Know your stuff. If you're going to reference it.
I don't know all the lyrics, and I like the very basic ones.
Okay.
Kevin Pelton wrote a story in ESPN Plus about this, and one of the things that he referenced two things on each side of that. One, he said, is that when it comes to double teaming Harden, which is what you expect them to do, the fact that the Thunder have this great three guard rotation and are very comfortable playing three guards together, Schroeder, Shea Gilgeous-Alexander, and Chris Paul. By the way, Schroeder is back from he's in quarantine now.
Monday?
Well, he'll be available. Well, assuming he doesn't have a positive test, he would be available, I believe. I believe it was time for it. So, Pelton's thought process was that, they have the ammunition to double team him. You know, they can play those three guards. They can play their best lineup, and it's effective against it. But he said the other side is that, you know, one of the reasons why so many teams double teamed him this year so effectively, well, I mean, they've been double teaming for years, but one of the reasons why it was effective a lot this year is because, you know, when Russ is out there, he's not a great three-point shooter.
Right.
So in this case, go ahead.
I was going to say that's part of the reason why going small made so much sense. If you take the center out of the middle of the floor and open it up, suddenly it's a runway for Russ. But go ahead.
Right. So, but he said that, you know, Eric Gordon is back from an ankle injury. He missed six games. Daniel House is expected to start, and he's had a toe injury. But it does, you know, if with Russell out, it does enable, if Gordon is playing well, if Gordon is having his, if good Eric Gordon is happening, which hasn't been that much this year.
Yeah, he's been injured.
That it actually may be, you know, in the short term, he's not talking about for a seven game series, but if he misses a game or two, and they might actually be able to weather that storm a little bit because they have left 4 3-point shooters.
So the Thunder also have a pretty significant injury, although it's a guy that honestly a lot of fans might not even have heard of. And that's Lou Dort.
Yeah,
he was a two-way guy. Guy all year long, was starting, and honestly, he would, if he's healthy, he's going to be the primary defender on Harden. Not during crunch time when they play the lineup you're talking about, but I bet you he would spend more time guarding Harden in that series if he's healthy and ready to roll than anybody.
Well, Dort is his calling card is defense, and he has just great size. Like I don't exactly know his dimensions right off the top of my head.
Yeah, he's unbelievable.
He's a linebacker.
But I would guess he's somewhere in the neighborhood of like 6'8", 230.
No, he's not 6'8". He ain't 6'8". I'm going to look him up.
All right, so 6'6", 220 maybe?
I'm going to look it up. I don't want to be wrong. I'll let you be dead wrong.
Yeah, I may have been a little aggressive with 6'8". You may be right about that. But he's,
yeah, 6'3", 215 is what he's
6'3"? Oh, my God. Well, that
but
just
he's
shows
a linebacker.
You.
No, he's a linebacker.
That just shows you how distorted he's the way he plays. It feels like he's 6'7", 6'8" to me because when I watch him play.
Also an Arizona State alum, like James Harden.
Yeah. So, well, so I mean, like, that series is just going to be like, I actually – we'll talk about it in a second. Like the East first round, don't know about that. But the West first round, yeah. I mean, there's
a lot of afternoon games in the East. Put it that way. Lou Dort, I looked up his wingspan. It is 6'8" and a half. So I'll give you that.
But that was a pretty embarrassing mess up. I mean, I have to say.
No, he plays big. Do you think CP3 might be pretty fired up for this series? I don't know.
Didn't he come to the Rockets game the other day?
Yeah,
there was some, I don't know if it's set up right now. I think they're going to maybe expand the seating a little bit because they're going to have friends and family coming. I don't know if the seating is set up for, like, there was a belief at one point that players would actually be coming to these games. And, you know, the idea was floated out there that maybe the Suns could come to the game tonight to cheer on the Nets, but obviously that didn't happen. But CP, you know, he's got that all access pass.
I was laughing. I was thinking about the Suns. They're watching the game, and they're waiting to find out if they're in or they're out. And then, you know, Portland wins, and it's like, did someone knock on their door and say, "Pack up your stuff, you're out of here"? You know.
Well, right. According to the protocol, which came out 2 months ago, yeah. I mean, there's quite a few things from the protocol that have been junked, like those 6 feet motion detectors. I think those are retired. Nobody's allowed to be in anybody's room. I don't remember who to give credit to, but somebody wrote a story about how Anthony Davis is not exactly thrilled because he's got a suite. And so all the Lakers come to his room to watch games and play. They had a Madden tournament. He had to host it in his room. And he kind of wished LeBron would use his suite. I think that's what I sort of read between the lines. But anyway, according to the
that, protocol, that's first class bubble problem.
That's funny.
I think it was Jared Dudley who was talking about it, and he was applying it to Anthony. I'm not sure Anthony actually said it, to be fair. But But according to the protocol, you're supposed to pack up and leave immediately.
Right, that's what I'm saying. Make a little joke here. Make a little bubble joke.
Right, because they want you. But you know, when they did the protocol, they could not have dreamed that they would have a month and a half of no positive tests.
Well, our board MAC-10 reported per league source that, this was during the game. Regardless of what happened with the Blazers' Nets, the Suns got to stay overnight.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. Well, the strange thing about this now for the Blazers is they actually have to pack up because the yacht club where they were staying is now being turned back over to use for Disney World. And so those teams are all moving out, and some of the teams that are moving out of the other, I don't exactly know the hotel setup, but the Blazers have to move tomorrow. So at the place where they've been staying for, you know, when did they get there? July, maybe 7th or 8th. So they've been there, you know, 5-6 weeks. Now they've got to pack all their stuff up and then move. And Memphis does too, by the way. I'm pretty sure they have to move tomorrow.
Wow.
But even if it's not tomorrow, it's Monday, whoever advances. And that's it's one thing to, you've been in a city for 3 days. you know, and you get out of your room. It's another thing when you've been in there for 6 weeks. And, you know, a lot of these dudes are like ordering televisions and refrigerators and chairs
and pinball machines and like full game consoles and stuff.
Yeah. I mean, you know, there's been a bunch of reports about how many packages have come in and, you know, guys are ordering full, although I've stayed at the Yacht Club. It's a, you know, your average room is not that spacious. So I don't know. Some of those guys who are maybe
is
six,
that
seven,
a humble
eight,
brag or a complaint? I don't understand. What are you doing?
No, no, it's not a humble brag. When I used to go to Orlando to cover games, Disney used to, you know, Disney Travel used to book me into the Yacht Club. That's where they used to stay. I haven't been to Orlando to cover a game in like three. Last time I was in Orlando to cover a game, Victor Oladipo was in it. And I think he scored 45 that night or something like that. So that tells you how Oladipo's been on two teams since then. But anyway, there's that, just there's some little bubble dynamics that are going on there. But, oh, and by the way, that first game, that first play-in game between Memphis and Portland is going to be on Saturday at 2:30 p.m. Eastern. And we have the game at ESPN. It'll be on ABC, actually. And you can watch it on ABC or you can watch it on the ESPN app.
Now let's talk about the play of the week, the pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavily on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liquor, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely. Vivid Seats wants you to get to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, and game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part? Each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seat Rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code HOOP. That's code HOOP, H-O-O-P. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats, experience it live.
You know, I have to say, Jackie, Adam Silver and the NBA staff, just as when this play-in concept was started, I kind of rolled my eyes because I didn't think it was enough. I didn't think it, you know, was going to be that interesting, you know, because there was so much spread in the standings. I was like, well, we're not going to get a play-in tournament. Well, clearly that has not been wrong, that has been wrong. And this format is spectacular. And I don't know if it can be carried over into the future, but this has worked out brilliantly. You have to take your hat off to the league for putting this together this way.
Right. As long as teams play at full strength, that's my only complaint, because I do think it can be very, very unfair if teams aren't playing their guys against one of these teams that's scratching and crawling to get in, and then another team's going full bore. So I do think that happened.
But that's inherent in the – I know. I agree. And if you had the wrong side of it, it's unfortunate. But that is inherent with trying to play your way in.
I understand.
But by the way, that
also happens every year. But
yeah, but this is different.
It's just heightened in this.
Yeah, this is different. Come on now. It's not the same.
Yeah. So. Well, I still, you know, look, I like on one hand, I understand why the Pelicans sat Zion. The way the Pelicans just shut their whole team down. I mean, the Kings did too. I mean, it was,
No, I'm talking about the.
This is another reason.
I'm talking about like Utah and the Bucks, and, you know, I'm talking about teams like that.
Yeah.
And I understand why. Listen, everybody has to take care of their own.
Utah must like that matchup.
Yeah. Anyway,
no, they don't. They just didn't want the Rockets.
Utah must like that matchup with Denver.
No, because they went 0-3 against Denver, and Jokic really put it on Gobert, which had not been the case in their careers leading up to this season. But Jokic averaged, I think, 29, 12, and like 9. And his cojones factor, the clutch numbers were ridiculous.
Mm. All right. Thanks, guys, for staying up late. It's well after midnight now. Thanks to Troy, who's producing this back in Connecticut, who is staying up very late to put this out. Thank you, Jackie. Thank you, Tim. Thank you for listening to the Hoop Collective podcast. We will talk to you soon.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.